Stand. Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
I am so glad God has brought you here to worship with us this day, so we can gather and hear yet again the wonderful good news message, that which is our only message, the best message we have to share, that death does not have the final word, but the final word indeed is life. And so we come together to hear that message yet again today. I'm so glad you are here to celebrate with us. We will continue our celebration into next Sunday as we continue our Easter season. Please join us here for another wonderful worship service as nationally known recording artist Rachel Kurtz will be here helping to lead our worship. And we're excited that she'll be here enjoying time with us. So please join us for that next week. Welcome to all of our guests. Know that all are welcome. And to best welcome you, we invite you to fill out the guest card in the pew rack in front of you so that we can have a record of your time with us and so that we can get to know you better. So welcome. We're so glad you're here. Let's do it again. Alleluia. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, you gave your only Son to suffer death on the cross for our redemption, and by his glorious resurrection you delivered us from the power of death. Make us die every day to sin, that we may live with him forever in the joy of the resurrection through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. You may be seated. And I invite our youngest ones to come forward for a time with Miss Joy.
Come on up. I have something for you. Have a seat. Got two baskets. Everybody find a place. Happy Easter. Y'all look so pretty and handsome. I should say that. The beginning of February, and I'm going to get tangled up here, it looks like, we started crafting snowflakes. And every time something bad or disappointed happened, we cut a little divot in a piece of paper. And here's some of the ones that we did. So, it was a lesson on how bad things can turn into something beautiful, can't they? It brings us closer to God, and he helps us through those bad things. It did me, and I was able to let those things go. Let it go, let it go. Is that a little better than the first service? So, that's why we have the snowflake here today. So, as on Good Friday, and I'm going to get tangled here, let me just... okay, they can just hang around. Okay, on Good Friday, what happened? Does anybody know? You? What happened to Jesus?
He died on the cross.
And that was a great thing. He gave us new life, didn't he? If we talk to Jesus, I'm going to sit down here with you now. If we ask Jesus for forgiveness, he will forgive us of our sins, our bad things that we do. And that's not just today, but in the future and in the past. That's a wonderful thing. On Easter Day, the stone was rolled away, and what happened?
He rose again.
He was not there. He was alive, and he lives where? Right here in us, in our hearts. Right. I got a good guy over there. There are many famous stones in the Bible. Can anybody think of any? I just talked about one. The stone? The boulder. Okay. It was rolled at the tomb, right? What about the Ten Commandments? What were they on? You look so pretty. They were on tablets of stone, weren't they? Well, today I have a little story about a stone. And I'm going to put this basket down here so you can kind of be looking what's in there. Okay? You can kind of look. Don't take anything out yet. There's stones in there, right? And you're each going to get a prayer stone today. Let me tell you this little story. On September 11th, 2001, I know none of you were living then, but everybody back there knows exactly where they were that day. Terrorists crashed four planes into the Twin Towers in New York City and in Washington, D.C. at the Pentagon and in a little town called Shanksville in Pennsylvania. Guess what? That is my hometown. Of all the places in the world. At that time, my father-in-law, Ernie, was the mayor of Shanksville. And he got gifts from all over the world for the victims of the crashes. Anyway, one of the things that he did get to do was go to the state of Washington. Not Washington, D.C., here. Way out west. And the Lummi Indians. You ever hear of the Lummi Indians?
Yeah.
Yes, okay. The Lummi Indians were crafting and carving totem poles. And they were going to erect them in New York City, at the Pentagon, and in Shanksville. And he got a couple gifts from the Lummi Indians, too. He got a staff, and he got a like an Indian hat. But he also got a stone. And it was called a prayer stone. Okay? So, I'm going to give you each a stone. And what you're going to do, you're going to take it home. And you're going to put it on your pillow tonight. Okay?
Put it under our pillow?
You can put it under your pillow, yes. Don't sleep with it, okay?
Okay.
When you're ready to go to bed tonight, you're going to look at that little stone. It's going to remind you to pray to Jesus for all the good things that have happened in your life. Then, lay down, but don't sleep with it. We're going to drop it in our shoe. Jerry would say, which pair of shoes you got to put them in, Joy? Because I have lots of shoes. Anyway, drop it in your shoe, and in the morning when you get dressed, you take it out, and it'll remind you to pray to Jesus. Okay? So you can pick one out. Go ahead. That didn't take much, huh? It's okay. I think everybody's got one here. You grab one. Sure. Everybody got one on this side? Okay. You can switch. Typical woman, change her mind. Yes. Yes. Okay. Okay.
I got a pink one.
You got a pink one. Good. Okay.
I got a pink one. Can we get a purple?
Okay, guys. I'll tell you what, I'll have the basket at the back. If you want to switch, you can later, okay? We got to get on with the sermon. Pastor Dave has to talk too. Okay. Years ago, I got a prayer stone. And it wasn't perfectly round, and it wasn't just like the tombstone was pretty round, wasn't it? Yeah. Mine wasn't. But life is not perfect. It reminds me of that. It was a little cracked. God did not promise that life would always be perfect, did he? But what did he promise? Anybody know?
Me,
right? He promised that he would always be with us in the bad times. And he sent his son, Jesus, to be with us on that first Easter day. So God must really love us, right? And that pretty much makes us pretty perfect, I think, in his eyes. Okay. And I do have, oh, there's another basket back here. Oh, she wanted a pink one? Okay. Here is something. Take something out of there. There's a card about the prayer stone in there, and there's also a card about jelly beans and the colors that they represent. A good grandma always gives kids candy. My kids would say. Careful, careful. Thank you also for coming up. Everybody good? All right. Thank you so much.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray together. Lord, the resurrection of your Son has given us new life and renewed hope. Help us to live as new people in pursuit of the Christian ideal. Grant us wisdom to know what we must do, the will to do what to do, the courage to undertake it, the perseverance to continue to do it, and the strength to complete it. Hallelujah. Jesus is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen. The first reading is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 25, verses 6-9. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wines, of rich food filled with marrow, of well-aged wines strained clear. And he will destroy on this mountain the shroud that is cast over all peoples, the sheet that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. Then the Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces, and the disgrace of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, Lo, this is our God. We have waited for him so that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. The word of the Lord. Psalm 118, verses 1 through 2, 14 to 24. The responses are in your bulletins in bolded letters. Give thanks to the Lord, for the Lord is good. God's mercy endures forever. The Lord is my strength and my song, and has become my salvation. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord acts valiantly. The Lord indeed punished me sorely, but did not hand me over to death. This is the gate of the Lord. Here the righteous may enter. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. The day of the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. Hallelujah.
Gospel according to St. Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
Now, when the Sabbath had ended, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might anoint Jesus. And early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They talked among themselves. They asked each other, who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb? When they arrived, they found that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. And so, they entered. And when they entered, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side. And they were alarmed. But the man, he looked at them and he said, do not be alarmed. For you are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. See? Look, this is the place where they laid him. But go. Go and tell the disciples. Tell the disciples and Peter that he has gone ahead of them to Galilee. And there you will see him just as he told you. And so the women, they went And they fled from the tomb for terror and amazement has seized them. And they said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. The gospel of the Lord. Be seated. Brothers and sisters, grace to you and peace from God, who is our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ, our Messiah. Amen. I have to tell you, ever since Christmas Eve, I have been asked by several people the following question. They said, Pastor Dave, like you did on Christmas Eve, will you be rapping again for us on Easter? Well, I thought about it. That could become my thing. The rapping pastor of Winchester, VA. But I chose to go in a different direction today, perhaps another time. But instead, I wanted to, though, keep with a theme, the theme of song and the importance of song and how it can share and teach us so much. And that is why at the very beginning of our worship service today, I asked Dave Schoberg back there, who runs our sound, I said, would you mind playing for us probably the most powerful Christian hymn of the 20th century? I invited him to do that. I don't know, maybe, did you hear? We actually played a wonderful Christian hymn at the very beginning of service. Maybe you didn't, because I did hear quite a bit of talking going on, even then. But this is Easter, so I'm not going to judge you too harshly. No, I played and I had asked Dave to play the song, I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For, by probably the most prominent, influential musical group of my generation, Gen X generation, the band U2. And that song, if you really listen to those words, has something profoundly powerful to share with us, especially on this day. The third verse of the song is its most powerful in my estimation, and it goes a little bit like this. I believe in the kingdom come when all the colors will bleed into one. But yes, I'm still running. You broke the bonds and you loosed the chains, carried the cross of my shame. And you know I believe it, but I still haven't found what I'm looking for. Have you ever heard those words and thought of Jesus? I'm convinced that's exactly what Citizen Bono was doing. Has there ever been a more powerful and simple expression of what our God has done for us? You broke the bonds and you loosed the chains and you carried the cross of my shame. That's what Good Friday is all about. Is there a more powerful expression of faith to say, I know that these are the things that you have promised to do, and Lord God, I believe it. I believe in the kingdom come. When all of the colors, when all of the things that divide us, all the things that separate us will bleed into one, bleed into the one God in which we find our unity. Yeah. I think I still haven't found what I'm looking for is the finest Christian hymn of the 20th century. But you may be thinking, but Pastor, that's all great and wonderful, but the name of the song is, I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For. Was anybody thinking that? Well, you know, maybe at first look, maybe that's the way it is, but I'm here to submit to you that it's actually probably one of the more faithful things that this song says. Because let me tell you know what? I do believe in the kingdom come. And I do believe that God is bringing reconciliation and that God works tirelessly with us, through us, and in this world so that we can break down barriers. That's what God's about. God is about taking those barriers away. God is helping us to see not with human eyes but with divine eyes so we can see beyond the things that separate us so we can find reconciliation. I believe that. I believe that God has taken the bonds of my sin and shame and He has broken those and He has made me free. I believe that. I believe that the kingdom comes way more than we ever give God credit for. Yet I also know this. That because I believe those things, and because I trust God so much, I know that when I look out into a world that is indeed broken, when I see over 100 Christians killed in Kenya, I know that when I see planes brought down by someone who seemingly did so in an act of terror, I know that when I hear yet again of the over 800 million people in this world who are malnourished, and when I see the growing disparity between the haves and the have-nots in our country, I can tell you right now that I still haven't found what I'm looking for. I know when I hear from my dear friends who are trying to get pregnant that they've had a miscarriage, that I haven't found what I'm looking for. When I hear from my friend who is looking for a job and continually looks for a job and has had so many difficult jobs and still has not found the one that will give him a sense of integrity and peace, I can tell you I have not found what I'm looking for. When I see our nation divided over political issues, wedge issues, the culture war they tell us, that all it does is divide us and keep us from seeing Christ in each other, brothers and sisters, I still have not found what I am looking for. I know, too, that as I look in my own life and my own heart, I see the sin that is a part of my life. I see the brokenness and the ways in which I fail to live up to what God would have me do and be as a husband, as a father, as a pastor, as a friend. I know in all of those ways that at times God probably looks down on His beloved child who He named and claimed at baptism, David Young, and says, Dave, my brother, I still haven't found what I'm looking for. Because how often do I cease to follow those things that I say that I believe? You know, I wouldn't be surprised that you didn't necessarily recognize that this was a song at the very beginning of the service because it was a little bit out of context. And as a matter of fact, somebody in our, when I was eating lunch, breakfast, thank you, when I was eating breakfast earlier, they said to me, Pastor, it was just so out of context that, you know, I really couldn't hear that. That's why I didn't see it. That's why it kind of, you know, was, you know, weird, because I wasn't expecting to hear a U2 song. You know, it was so out of context. That's why I didn't pay any attention. And my response was, yeah, things that are out of context, kind of like a guy being raised from the dead. See, that's why you guys pay me the big bucks. I come up with those kind of theological insights. Isn't that fantastic? No, but the point is, think about it. Think about these women, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James and Salome. Think about them. Think about them showing up at that empty tomb. And I heard something the other day, which I think is powerful. It said, you know, the stone was rolled away not to get Jesus out of the tomb. The stone was rolled away to get the witnesses in. And they go in and they see that the tomb is empty. And you know what? Yeah, that was out of context too. Except for the fact that Jesus had said it was going to happen. And then it led them to fear. And you know, really, that's probably the way it should have. I don't know about you, but when God comes near, and when God's reality is made real in our life in a powerful, visceral way, I do believe that that's going to breed some fear and some amazement, some awe, if you will. You know, God coming near in the middle of a prayer that you're having, or God coming near in the middle of a worship service, or in the middle of being in a evening and you're going to sleep and you feel God's presence around you, or by watching the way somebody else serves another person, or whatever it happens to be, there can indeed be a great fear. Because the thing is this, and I heard this week, which I think is powerful too. It said, if Jesus died and the tomb was not empty, in fact, Jesus was still there dead, then nothing else matters. But if Jesus died and the tomb was empty, well, guess what? Nothing else matters. Because it challenges us at the very heart of what we have come to say we believe. Because if Jesus is raised from the dead, then that means God is on the loose. And if God is on the loose, then God is up to stuff. And if God is up to stuff, let me tell you, that's going to shake up our world. And if our world is going to get shaken up, then I can tell you this right now, I'm going to be a little bit afraid, because I really like my world not shaken up. I don't know about you, but I have a control issue from time to time. You know? And God says, Now that's what the empty tomb's about. The God who is coming to shake up your world. The God on the loose who is willing to come near and experience all that we experience, so that God can be the God that we need in every experience. Hear that again. The God who comes near in all of our experiences, so we can have the God that we need. No matter what we experience, the God who comes near. You know, that song, that great hymn, Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For, it begins like this. Let me remember it immediately. It begins, I have climbed the highest mountain, I have run through the fields only to be with you. I have run, I have crawled, I have scaled these city walls only to be with you. 'Cause I still haven't found what I'm looking for. And I believe that's how the God on the loose acts. The God on the loose who climbed the mountain of Calvary and who runs through the fields of our brokenness, our sadness, our broken dreams, our difficult relationships, our struggles. He is the God who runs through them with us. He is the God who will run to us in the midst of our struggles. He is the God who will crawl on the ground with us when our world has overtaken us and has pushed us to the ground. Ours is the God who will scale any wall that is ever set up to divide us so that He can do what? So that He can be with you. That is what the God on the loose does. That is who the God on the loose is. And that is what our God on the loose has promised to do. And friends, that is why that is so scary, because we know there's nowhere we can go to get away from God's amazing love and grace that's going to call us out of our comfort zone into something else. But friends, that is also amazing, because that is the kind of God that you and I need in the midst of our brokenness and pain. It is the God who is not afraid to be God enough for all of our experiences of death. Whether it be a death of a relationship, or the death of a job, or the death of a spouse, or the death of a dream. Ours is the God who says, no, those deaths don't define you, nor are they the final word. The final word is life. The God on the loose. It will bring you fear, but it'll also bring you amazement. So, who are you going to go and tell? In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
I invite you to turn to page 9 in our bulletin so that we might profess together our faith in the words of our Apostles' Creed, Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sin. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Those who are able are invited to kneel for our time of prayer.
Throughout our prayer, we'll be having a responsive sort of call and response. I'll say, set our minds on heavenly things. And please say, fill us with your joy. Lord Jesus Christ, we witness with Peter that you are the fulfillment of the prophet's testimony, the judge of the living and the dead, and the forgiver of our sin. As you defeated death by rising from the dead, fill us with the real expectation of life eternal. Set our minds on heavenly things. Heavenly Father, you wipe away all disgrace and all tears from our faces. You are the God for whom we have waited. We rejoice in your salvation and the sending of your Son. Set our minds on heavenly things. Give us ears to hear and a heart to believe the proclamation of the gospel, that we may be counted among your disciples. Set our minds on heavenly things. Lord Jesus, your disciples fled from the empty tomb in terror and amazement. Come visit with us, that all our fears may dissipate in your presence. Set our minds on heavenly things. Lord Jesus Christ, help us see you as clearly as Mary Magdalene saw you standing at your gravesite. Give us her courage to proclaim that you are alive and still among us. Set our minds on heavenly things. Heal all of us, Lord, from doubt, worry, loneliness, and fearfulness. Tend to those among us with special needs. Today we pray especially for Abby, Robin Forrest, Deborah Naughton, Kaylee Riggleman, Edna High, Pat Clevenger, Jean Eller, Joyce Braithwaite, Irma Genshaw, All God's Creatures, Howard Chemnitz, Braden Schofield, Brian, Polly Nail, Debbie Mumaw, Patty Clark, Kaylin Tulso, Trish Roy, Allison DeVere, John Hannon, Carol and Cassandra Dugan, Corinne Edgerton, Sophia Barr, the staff at Spring Arbor, Susan Abe, Doug and Cindy Newell, Judy Miller, our great nation and its leaders, Marie Funk, Tammy Enns, John Flinchin, the Lee family, and all those we name aloud are in our hearts. Set our minds on heavenly things.
Fill us with your joy.
Help us listen closely to your word, even as you listen closely to our prayers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Can you invite us into peace?
Sure.
You're invited to share a sign of the peace with each other.
Thank you.
At this time, I would like to invite our communion assistants to please come forward.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give them thanks and praise.
It is our duty and delight that we should everywhere and always offer thanks and praise to you, O God, through Jesus Christ, who by his death on the cross and glorious resurrection broke the bonds of sin and death and gave life to all creation. And so with the church on earth, all creation and the host of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Brothers and sisters, on the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." In the same manner also, he took the cup after supper, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Jesus said, "I am the true vine. Abide in me as I abide in you." Please know that the table is open to all. We invite you to come as this is our family meal of thanksgiving. You may be seated.
Thank you.
Let us stand. Actually, not quite yet. You should actually stand for this song. Go ahead. You're going to stand for two songs.
Thank you.
may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in His grace. Now, before we conclude with our closing hymn, I just want to take a moment to say thank you to our wonderful brass quintet that's with us today. We have the Joiner Trio, Doug and David and Gay over here. We have our very own senior graduate going to Shenandoah and to become a tuba, even more of a tuba expert, Ben Holver. And then we have Jamie over here. So awesome. Thank you, guys. Jamie has a last name and a wife named Amy and a beautiful daughter named Catherine. Yeah, so I just don't know his last name, but find it out. He's a really cool guy. All right. Also, just want to say a word of thanks. If you came into church today and saw the grounds and how beautiful they look, that is because we have a wonderful person in our congregation, Mr. John McAllister, owner of Redding. Awesome. John, raise your hand. Awesome job. It looks beautiful around here. Thank you. Now we conclude now with our closing hymn, a wonderful one that reminds us of the day, Mighty to Save. God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit bless you now and forever.
Amen.
Go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.